Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Thank you so much for tuning in. Our first show of the work week and our first as we count down to Super Bowl 54 in Miami. We will be taking our show on the road as we've done the last several years. After Hours with Amy Lawrence will be on Radio Row and will be from 790 The Ticket this year. That's our affiliate in Miami. We're excited about getting the chance to have some FaceTime with some of the movers and shakers in the sports world and the football world. We've even got a couple of guests from the entertainment world like we always do. And Hall of Famers. We always have an opportunity to connect with at least one, and usually it's multiple Hall of Famers sporting their gold jackets, and it's an opportunity to see them congregate in one area once a year. So I always look forward to it. It's a lot of work, but you reap the benefits because we get to bring you the type of access and interviews and conversations and eyes on the scene and boots on the ground that we don't get a lot of times during the year. But that's why Radio Row is so special. That's why we make the effort to go to the site of the Super Bowl. So we will be in Miami on Tuesday night, Wednesday night, Thursday night, leading up to Super Bowl 54. Until then, we have a lot to talk about as we get ready for the last football game of the season. I can't believe it's finally here. It's come down to this. We're live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans Studios. Home is so much more than a house. It's the home of your dreams. And for 30 years, they've been making it better. Rocket Mortgage, push button, get mortgage. We'll do kind of a round robin with the four quarterbacks who were participating on Championship Sunday. And you'll get to hear from both the winning locker rooms as well as the losing locker rooms. And we're talking about a who's who when you think about it. From Aaron Rodgers, the oldest quarterback still standing once Tom Brady and Drew Brees and Josh McCown were eliminated from the playoffs, to a guy in Ryan Tannehill who had missed the playoffs with his former franchise, who was trying to get back to Miami where he spent the early part of his career. Then you think about Jimmy Garoppolo, who had been in the postseason with the Patriots but had never started a game until this year in January. And then you end up with a guy like Patrick Mahomes to round out the group, who doesn't have a ton of experience but is already so accomplished. You know, he could be the first quarterback in history to win both an MVP and a Super Bowl before the age of 25. And if it was just him and a bunch of people we'd never heard of, I still say that would make the Super Bowl worth watching. He is so much fun. I don't know how the bulk of his career plays out. I don't know if he turns into a Hall of Famer or if this is the start of a bunch of Super Bowl appearances and individual awards. There's no way to predict that. Football's a team sport. All you have to do is look at Dan Marino as an example. Or, heck, you could use Aaron Rodgers as an example. Rodgers is one of the best quarterbacks we've ever seen. He is a Hall of Famer. But even Rodgers knows that he's looking at his own mortality and that that's why this one hurts a little more, because you get so close, he doesn't know if he's ever going to get back there. And you can blame whoever you want, Mike McCarthy, for wasting Aaron Rodgers' prime years, but it's a team sport. And so I say enjoy Patrick Mahomes on the stage while you can. He's dynamic. You know, I get the same feeling watching Mahomes play football as I did watching the Warriors for those 5 years. And they may very well return to the form that we saw the last 5 years when they got to the consecutive NBA finals. But it's just, it's fun. It's exciting. It's entertaining. It makes
Mahomes
you want
magic.
More. Exactly. And to see what the Chiefs have done, what Mahomes has done over the course of even just these two postseason games, but this now 8-game win streak, you just forget that he has to have surgery for a dislocated kneecap once this season is done. Could you imagine? Super Bowl winner, potentially. Let's just speculate. Super Bowl winner, and then going under the knife to fix ankle and knee injuries. And yet you would have no idea. It's a quick strike ability. It's the speed. It's the flash. It's the thrill. The Chiefs offense has to battle and grapple with a Niners defense that wants to shut them down in your face, as I said. So your first chance to tell us what you think of this year's Super Bowl matchup. Super Bowl 54, LIV, if you're using Roman numerals. We're asking you to fill in the blank. This year's Super Bowl matchup is what? On Twitter, A-Law Radio, or on Facebook, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. You're already blowing up our Facebook page. Not sure what else you did this weekend since it was a working weekend. I still didn't take down my Christmas tree. It still smells so good, though, and it's not hemorrhaging needles, and I like the lights. Everything else is put away from the holidays except for the tree. It's still in my living room. But I did also have a basketball game, so I kind of did the split duty. Saturday had a basketball game with pictures to prove it, if you haven't checked out Twitter. But also the football on Sunday. And as I was taking my notes and keeping up and tweeting and all that jazz like I normally do on Sundays, I was thinking, next Sunday, it's the first one since September when I haven't been chained to my TV and my computer and the football schedule. And as much as I love it, I'll be okay with having a Sunday that I can actually do something else besides watch football. I know that makes me sound ungrateful, doesn't it? I'll be excited for the Super Bowl, and pretty soon, before you know it, it'll be March Madness. February and March and April, they're also incredibly busy months in sports. So we've got plenty to fill the void. It's been an awesome football season with a lot of fun storylines. But we can't miss you if you never go away, NFL. And so next Sunday, it's going to be nice. Maybe I'll take down the Christmas tree. No, I've got to get it out of the house this week because I got to get ready for Miami. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Let's talk about the AFC Championship a little bit. I know we just talked with Mick Schaefer, and he said the Super Bowl will be the biggest sports story in Kansas City history, even topping what we saw with the Royals. And I'd actually forgotten. It's kind of funny that he remembered or reminded me. I had forgotten about the Royals facing the Giants. So Kansas City versus San Francisco, going back to the Super Bowl, the World Series that they lost in 2014. And so I guess you could be happy then that there's no Madison Bumgarner on the San Francisco 49ers roster. But for the AFC Championship, Tennessee Titans, they look like they had settled right into that formula and that groove that had gotten them to this point. It was a healthy dose of Derrick Henry to move the chains early on. And the yards after the catch. Now, Ryan Tannehill hadn't been asked to throw the ball a whole lot. A little more than Jimmy Garoppolo on Sunday. But he hadn't been asked to throw the ball a lot in their first two wins at New England and at Baltimore. But in the first quarter, they were keeping the Chiefs defense off balance. And when A.J. Brown and Corey Davis made catches, they were going for yards after the catch. And so it was a really nice mix early on for the Titans. And they had a 10-0 lead before the Chiefs ever had a first down. There was one play in that first quarter that was a near interception. In fact, it looked to be an interception initially. And then it was overturned. I don't know that it had to be replayed, but after a conversation, they realized that the ball had hit the ground. And so that gave the Titans new life on one of their drives early on. And I know, like everybody else, we're all thinking, are you kidding me? 2 weeks in a row? And it's so much harder to come back against Tennessee if you don't have the football. Because the Titans can be so good at the ball control. But the Chiefs are the opposite style, right? And they can put together a drive in the time that you need a bathroom break. I mean, that's how quickly it can happen. And they use the motion, and they use the jet sweeps, and they use the speed of Tyreek Hill and Mecole Hardman. And they also have the same moxie that the Titans do in going for it on fourth down. In that first quarter, there were two fourth down conversions. Travis Kelce initially had dropped a third down pass, but he makes the fourth down conversion on their first scoring drive. And at least they're on the board. So it wasn't quite like their game against the Texans in which they were already down 24-0 before they found the end zone. But then it was more of Tennessee with the ball control to start that second quarter. And did you notice early on? I don't know if you can chalk it up to jitters, but lack of discipline for sure. Whatever the reason, there were some brutal mistakes by Kansas City on the defensive side of the ball that kept leading to first downs. So they would get flags for false starts. They would get flags, not false starts. They would get flags for offsides. They would get flags for being in the neutral zone. And they just kept handing the Titans these extra snaps. And on a couple occasions, they handed them first downs. And then there's this 9-minute drive in the second quarter for the Titans, and it's the offensive tackle, Dennis Kelly, who catches the touchdown. And there you go. They're down by 10 points again. So twice in that first half, the Chiefs are down by double figures. And maybe that's what it takes. Getting into a second quarter, and that's where they find their sea legs, so to speak. It's after hours here on CBS Sports Radio. They have their quick strike drive, a 20-yard touchdown catch on a perfectly placed ball through traffic by Patrick Mahomes. And then the defense turns around and stuffs the Tennessee drive. And I felt like at that point you could feel the momentum shifting. Not that this game ever appeared to be out of hand for the Chiefs, but once the defense got into it and got a couple of big stops, then it felt like, okay, they've gotten back to even here. And the end of the first half, we got to see that Mahomes magic in full effect. And similar to a week ago, when the Hardman 58-yard return on a kickoff and then the stuff of the fake punt lit Arrowhead on fire, that's what I felt like as I was watching this last drive at the end of the first half.
Mahomes moving to his left laterally, chased, holding it, and gets out of bounds and up the sideline. He's not out of bounds yet. He's at the 10, inside the 10. He dives for the end zone. Touchdown, Kansas City. A remarkable acrobatic scramble on a 27-yard run.
Mitchell just says he's out of bounds. No, he's not out of bounds yet. But maybe that's what everybody else thought too, at least the defense that was on the field. So yeah, Mahomes' magic in full display. He scrambles around the left end. He goes up the sidelines. No one shoves him out of bounds. He just keeps running. At some point, it looked like he hesitated, almost as though he was going to slide or run out of bounds. And nobody came to challenge him, so he kept going. And he cuts back inside a little ways, and he fights for the final 3 yards to get into the end zone. And at this point, you've got a couple of Titans who are grabbing him but can't bring him down. His momentum carries him into the end zone. So he breaks tackles. He goes 27 yards. And lo and behold, once again, the Chiefs take a double-figure deficit and turn it into a lead in the halftime locker room. That is some heady stuff. Gives you a lot of confidence. And certainly being on your own field in front of your own fans, their excitement, their energy can also carry you and lift you up. That is a scoreless third quarter, but what really impressed me was the way that the Chiefs gave the Titans a dose of their own medicine. So what do the Titans like to do? They like to keep the ball away from their opponent, pound you to death with Derrick Henry. But instead, it was the Chiefs who only allowed the Titans 4 minutes with the ball in that third quarter. That was it. The Chiefs had it for the other 11 minutes. And it set them up early for a fourth quarter touchdown. And instead of flipping the ball around, instead of these dynamic throws by Patrick Mahomes, on that drive, they run the ball 10 of their 13 snaps. I mean, they're not known for their run game. They've got some speedy guys. They've got guys who will run the ball. But Damian Williams, we're not talking about a feature back. Instead, it's Patrick Mahomes who leads the team in rushing. But they decided that they were going to keep the ball away from the Titans, and they ran the ball 10 of 13 times. They cap a 7-minute drive. And at that point, the Titans couldn't come up with any momentum. And really, how do you match that quick strike ability? They had to throw the ball at that point because they were down. They needed to score quickly. And that's not their game. Or at least it hasn't been the last couple weeks. All right, you can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio. This Super Bowl matchup is what? We're going to let you hear from all four of the quarterbacks. In the wake of Championship Sunday, two victorious moving on to Miami, and two that are now tasting that bitter pill of defeat.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Snap the deck. Fade right side of the end zone. Touchdown! It's a touchdown!
Mariota, play fake, looking, floats it downfield. Touchdown! Tight!
Fires for the end zone. Touchdown! And with a terrific job to feed that ball through heavy traffic.
Breeze from the shotgun has time. Guns it down the middle, and he's going to score!
Goff stands in. He whips it to the two. Touchdown!
There's a wobbly pass down the middle. It's a backpedaling, falling down chest high, heavily covered touchdown catch.
Oh, baby, what a throw by Stafford!
It's time for QB News on After Hours.
You gotta fight for your right to party! That wasn't a quarterback, but Travis Kelce summed it up perfectly on the podium as the Chiefs were receiving the AFC Championship trophy, actually known as the Lamar Hunt trophy. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Patrick Mahomes, just the sixth quarterback in the last 70 years to have multiple games with at least 50 rushing yards in a single postseason. And as much as he can chuck the ball around, he was the leading rusher for the Chiefs on Sunday. He also went 23 of 35 for nearly 300 yards, racked up four total touchdowns.
You know, Pat's the leader of the team, and everybody knows that, and they all respect him for it. He knows how to handle it, and that's why we're here.
I've been blessed to be in a great situation with a lot of great football players and coaches around me. I think that's the biggest thing is from day one, I've been accepted to go out there and be who I am. And my teammates, they've responded by being great every single day. And so for me, I've been put in a great situation. And I just try to maximize it every single day.
Ryan Tannehill and the Tennessee Titans on the losing end, though an incredible run for them. They needed every last week of the regular season to play their way into January, and then they knocked off a pair of Giants. And Tannehill taking over the offense, the changes, his quarterback rating that led the league, his efficiency, the balance that he brought along with Derrick Henry, the offensive line really gelling in front of them. That offense went through a major transition, and he's a big reason why. And his future is kind of up in the air. But for right now, not thinking about that at all, just really enjoyed the ride and is disappointed that it's done.
I love this team. I love these guys. I love the way we competed this year. I love playing with them. Week in and week out, and it hurts. It hurts. You feel the pain across the locker room. Think how far we've come, and then to really come up short from what our end goal was. It hurts. It's sudden. It hurts. It's going to take a while to get over. Honestly, I'm kind of in shock a little bit. You know, just you don't prepare yourself for this outcome. You know, everything in your preparation in your mind is we're going to win this game. You know, you don't really even think of the other side. So when it hits hard.
Ryan Tannehill goes 21 of 31 for 209 yards, so double what he had in the first two playoff games combined. He did have a couple of touchdowns, but it was too little too late. They jumped out to that lead. They really couldn't ever get Derrick Henry going. And even with the long touchdown pass late, the Chiefs, they're on some kind of a run, and the defense just didn't do enough to disrupt the flow of the Chiefs' offense. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. We'll put up our Monday MVP poll as we head through the rest of the show. And while I'm tempted to say Raheem Mostert, Raheem Mostert, Raheem Mostert, Raheem Mostert, there certainly are other candidates, and Patrick Mahomes would be one of those. Though it's Derrick Henry who sets a record for most rushing yards in a single postseason. So again, congratulations to the Titans on what they accomplished this year. Certainly, Aaron Rodgers understands the pain, the frustration of one Ryan Tannehill, though Rodgers has a lot more playoff starts when you're thinking about his career and the fact that he's tasted both the thrill of victory and the agony of defeat. The team, in its games against the Niners, really got buried. We were overwhelmed, at least managed to tack on some late points in this one. But in both the games against the Niners this season, we're completely shut out in the first half. And yet, Rodgers says, the mountain is not nearly as huge as what it appears.
Well, it looks pretty big. You know, they got us a couple times, but I don't think it's that big. I think we're really close. I think we're just a little more consistent performance away from consistently playing with these guys. We got them at their place twice. I've said this before, you know, we got to get one of these at home. It's a different ball game. It's different, you know, playing in 20 degree weather and snow, cold and wind is a different type of game than playing here.
And he would know. He's a Chico, California native. And remember, he still holds that chip on his shoulder for when the Niners drafted Alex Smith number one overall in their draft, and he slipped to 24, and the Green Bay Packers. He actually didn't have a terrible game if you take away the turnovers, but of course you can't separate. Aaron Rodgers, 31 of 39, 326 yards. He did have a couple of touchdown passes, but he also had two interceptions, as well as a fumbled snap and a miscommunication with his center. He was sacked three times. He got hit a couple more times. So not quite as bad, not as many bruises as the first game. But certainly this one gives the Packers an idea of how far they have to go to match up with the best of the NFC and the Niners.
It's a little raw right now for sure, but it definitely hurts, I'd say, a little more than early in the career, just because you realize just how difficult it is to get to this spot. And with all the changes this offseason and with all the installation of a new system and a new program, to get to this point, you felt like it was something special.
By the way, Devontae Adams had another 138 yards receiving. They had to be the quietest 138 yards of any game ever. I barely remember him being involved in the offense. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. The victorious locker room, that was the Niners, Jimmy Garoppolo, his first two playoff starts. But he was the guy that handed off all game long, only attempted 8 passes, only 77 yards for him, though the San Francisco run game racked up 285 yards. He had to watch when Tom Brady was the starter and he was the bench quarterback in New England, and now finally his opportunity to be the man.
That crazy whirlwind of a ride, and no one else I'd rather be in a dogfight with than those guys in that locker room. It's a great group to be with. Everyone's pulling together. Everyone's you know, tight with one another, and it's just a great group, man. It really is.
There's a lot of talk about how this might hurt the ego of some quarterbacks if they were asked to do nothing but hand off. But he seemed pretty content and pretty excited every time Raheem Mostert got into the end zone.
Got to talk to Kyle or something, man. You know, it's just, we were running the hell out of the ball tonight. It was, made my life very easy back there. So I think we had like 8 pass attempts. So it was a fun night.
Raheem Mostert, 220 yards and 4 touchdowns, the most ever by a running back in a conference championship game, and more rushing yards than any other San Francisco 49er in their storied franchise history. The 4 quarterbacks now been reduced to 2. Poof, a couple of them disappear. Many of you have made reference to how this is the Joe Montana game. I mean, yes, he did absolutely finish out his career with Kansas City, but he's most known and he got into the Hall of Fame for what he did with the San Francisco 49ers. But I do love the ties. There are some pretty unique ties and some cool redemption stories from this AFC and NFC championship games and the matchup that we'll have moving forward. So I'd love to hear from you. CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line is 855-212-4227, and it's sponsored by Geico. Whether you own or rent, Geico makes it easy to bundle home and auto insurance. Having a home is hard work, so get a quote at geico.com. It's easy. 855-212-4227 on Twitter, A-Law Radio, or on our Facebook page.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Rodgers back. Pass rush holds. He's going to throw a bomb down the field for Devontae Adams in a double coverage. It is intercepted by Richard Sherman, who will go down. And the 49ers are going to win the game and win the NFC Championship game and go to the Super Bowl. Feel super, baby!
Feel great, baby!
Super Bowl champions are going back to Miami, where they have won two Super Bowls, and they're looking for number six.
Let's start filling up that other hand.
Off the field, on the money, and after hours, it's time to talk football with Amy Lawrence.
Did you catch the Feel Super Baby reference? Yeah, they've been all about some version of Jimmy Garoppolo's feels good, baby, to Aaron Andrews in the interview that kind of set the sports world on fire for all of 5.3 minutes. Remember, he got asked, or she asked him, what did she ask him about being the number one seed? I can't remember what the question was. It was something about some success that they were having, and he said, it feels good, baby. And yeah, Twitter, social media blew up. But the Niners have thoroughly enjoyed it. They've had T-shirts made out of the phrase. I've seen various Niners wearing the T-shirts. And now you've got Greg Papa on the Niners radio network. Feels good, baby. No, feels super, baby. Yep, funny. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. Richard Sherman is already a Super Bowl winner and was there with the Seahawks when they lost on that late interception by Malcolm Butler to the Patriots the next year. So he's been a guy that has seen a lot in the postseason, and he still brings that intensity and that fire. Now, he got beat on a touchdown by Aaron Rodgers and Devontae Adams in this game, but then was able to come back with that interception that, it, as you hear, kind of sealed it and slammed the door, even where the Packers were potentially thinking about a comeback, some kind of crazy comeback. So they did turn a lot of their roster over, and they do have a lot of new faces, guys who haven't been in this situation before, like a Jimmy Garoppolo, who's just now tasting his first playoff action, right? So he was on the Patriots roster, but we're not talking about a guy who took a lot of snaps. I mean, most of these guys are going to be doing it for the first time, but Sherman brings that hey, been there, done that perspective.
I mean, guys aren't just happy to be here. You know, guys are playing to win. So guys are going to treat it like a game they're trying to win. They're not sitting here like, hey, my God, let's celebrate. We're in the Super Bowl. Why go if you're not trying to win? So we're going to prepare for a great opponent. You know, they have a prolific offense, a great quarterback, a great freaking trio of receivers, a good back, a good old line. So we have a huge challenge.
Yes, a huge challenge. So it's not a vacation to Miami, and he gets that, and he likes to lock into that intensity for sure. This is going to be so much fun because the defense for the San Francisco 49ers has faced all these challenges over the course of the year. They have really shut down some incredible offenses, limited them. But what do the Chiefs do? The Chiefs find ways. Andy Reid and Arthur Smith, or no, I'm sorry, Eric Bieniemy, they find ways to exploit the defense, and they do it with so much of that motion, that misdirection. They use the entire field, it feels like, both horizontally and vertically. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. Our toll-free line is 855-212-4227. Lots of you weighing in on Facebook and Twitter, so we'll get to some of your reactions. 285 rushing yards. And the Niners certainly would like to rush the football. But man, they went entire drives not even bothering to throw the ball. In fact, Jimmy Garoppolo did not attempt a pass in the third quarter and only finished with 6 completions. And for Packers head coach Matt LaFleur, well, that's the entire story, right? The fact that they could not stop the run.
For the most part, it seemed like we were playing a good bit of single safety defense. And when you're in single high, you shouldn't be able to run the ball like that. And I think I looked up one time and saw that Mostert had 20 carries for 200 yards. And that is not going to get it done, not in this league, especially when you know that they're going to try to run the football coming into this game.
220 yards, 4 touchdowns, and a trip to Super Bowl 54 for Raheem Mostert and the San Francisco 49ers. It's kind of fun to think about the different guys who are from Florida, even as we talked about the different guys who are from California who got to go and play in front of more family and friends and be in their home state, Aaron Rodgers being one of those, but not the only one. So now you've got guys who are really excited to be in Miami, to be in South Florida. Sammy Watkins is one of those, and it was really interesting to see his role in this AFC Championship. Now, he didn't have a touchdown since September 8th. His first touchdown catch going back to September 8th. Kind of been in and out of the lineup. But on the fourth quarter drive, the early fourth quarter drive, after Kansas City had dominated the third quarter by running the ball, they get the ball back from the Titans and they revert to the passing game. And in the course of that scoring drive, there were 3 targets for Sammy Watkins, including the 60-yard touchdown bomb from Patrick Mahomes. And so you could see the versatility and the flexibility, and just hearing Richard Sherman talk about their 3 good receivers. I think he used different language, but they're 3 good receivers. And so Watkins has the chance to play in his home state.
I think that's the best feeling ever. Just to go in Florida, you know, I can have a lot of family members come. And just to be in the heat, you know what I mean? We've been playing in the cold for the last 3 or 4 weeks. And just to get in some sun and stuff like that, I think it'll definitely help this team. We got a lot of guys that run track and run up and down the field. So I think it'll definitely help us start off fast.
He went to college at Clemson, though. So a lot of Clemson fans, I would assume, are going to be rooting for Watkins. He finishes with 7 catches, 114 yards, along with that touchdown. So, initial reactions. We want you to fill in the blank. Super Bowl 54 matchup is what? And you're finding me on Twitter, A-Law Radio, also on our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. So let's filter through some of your Facebook posts. There's a lot of posts already up. Marty says, a good one. And he also says, tonight is the first time I've listened to your show in over a month. I promise to be back on the bandwagon for a while. Good. Glad to have you. Don says on Facebook, just the best. It's going to be a great game. You know, we have no idea whether or not it's going to be a great game. However you define great game, it may be a Chiefs win. It may be a Niners win. Maybe it's just a close game. Maybe you want more offense than what we saw a year ago when we had 1 touchdown in Super Bowl 53. However you define great game, for me, great game, any great sporting event means drama. So I like the close and late situations. I like the twists and turns that we don't see coming. I like the jaw-dropping moments. I mean, I like to be surprised when it comes to my sports. So that is what I look for in a great game. But whatever you look for, I hope that you'll find it in Super Bowl 54. Ron uses the word intriguing. I think so, too. Contrasting styles for these two teams, not to mention all of the various redemption stories. I think it's, I'm going to be writing my weekly column about all the different opportunities for redemption. Gregory on Facebook, it's going to live up to the hype. All right. I'm not big on predictions, but I hope that one is accurate. I would vote for that. Scott on Facebook, the best matchup we could have hoped for. He says, aside from the Ravens having the number one seed, this is by far the best two teams in the NFL. Alton on Facebook, the beginning of a new NFL era. Could be. Again, I'm not big on predictions. I certainly don't have a crystal ball that tells me the future. But if Mahomes stays healthy, he could be the dominant quarterback in the NFL for a long time. We already know that there's this sweeping change at the QB position with a bunch of young guys. And if you think about the Niners and what they've built on the defensive side of the ball, now Super Bowls can change things. Here's what happens after teams win Super Bowls. And one of these teams will be in that situation. Very often, guys want to get paid. They want to translate the success, the height of their careers, into dollar signs. Plus,
you got to fight for your right to party!
Thank you, Travis Kelce. Guys want to get paid. And so it's nearly impossible for a Super Bowl champion to keep all of its guys, to pay all of its guys. And so generally, there's a lot of change after a team wins a Super Bowl title. And so what you're going to do right now is enjoy this moment, see how it works. And then you kind of hope that some of these teams can carry over. Not that we need dynasties for the sport to be interesting, but just that, you know, we have storylines that will carry over because we can sink our teeth into them. I mean, that's kind of fun, too, to watch a team kind of morph and change and go through adversity. I mean, the Eagles, they haven't gotten back to the Super Bowl, but the way that they have kind of carried forward in this Doug Peterson era as the head coach, the fact that they've had so many injuries the last couple years and yet have been able to play their way into the postseason and this year as NFC East champs. And so it's kind of fun to follow the storylines after the fact, after a team wins a Super Bowl, though we're not quite there yet. And maybe Alton will be right and it will be the beginning of a new NFL era. Don says it'll be a real test of San Francisco's secondary for sure. Let's see. Kyle, going to be phenomenal. Dewan, as well as a bunch of other players on Facebook, are using the word epic. I like it. Epic is a good one. Greg says Joe Montana's party. See what I mean? Lots of people referencing Joe Montana. Hey, Jason Garrett has a new job. It's After Hours on CBS Sports Radio.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.